Thank you, Lord. If you want to turn over to 1 Kings 17. And start in verse 3. 1 Kings 17, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Let's read there. It's talking about Elijah. And this is the Lord speaking. Let's just say, let's start in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, God's spoken through Elijah, and he said, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." So there's going to be a drought. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. It will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And we're going to read a little bit more in a little bit. But what I want you to notice, and you may have heard things to this effect before, in verse 4, "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." That God told Elijah to go to a specific place, and he had commanded the ravens to feed him at that place. And I just wanted to spend a little bit of time today. You know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, the inheritance we have, these things. And, you know, and I just wanted to go here today that all these things that we have, that we I want to focus a little bit on prosperity and the material part. But just in general, everything that you have, or that the blessings of God, what the place that you are going to experience the most from God is where He wants you. It's not separate. In other words, it's not like yes, you have an inheritance from God. This corresponds to all the parts of your life. You know, your job, your health, your relationships. And, you know, we've been talking about all those things that they're ours through Jesus. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's the power source. And that, you know, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit of God. So we don't really ever have to say, "Well, I just have no clue what I should do. I'm just bumbling around here. All these things are happening to me. I don't know why," and just feel helpless. That's not the case. We can know the will of God, and we can know where we're supposed to be. So Elijah, he was told by God to go to a specific place. God spoke through him and said, "It's not going to rain. There's going to be a drought." And Elijah, he told Elijah where he wanted him to go. And he said, "I've commanded the ravens to feed you at that place." See, he heard the voice of God tell him where to go. It was in a drought, but he told him where to go. He told him what to do. And he said that the ravens would feed him at that place. In other words, he was going to take care of him at that place. Now, Elijah could have said, "Why there? Why should I go to that place? What's so special about that brook? You know? What's so special about that? Why can't I go to this brook?" Because God had commanded the ravens to feed him there at that place. He had commanded to his provision to be there. Not that God will not take care of us wherever we are, but there is a truth that when we're in the will of God where we really should be, then there, all the rest of the things line up. Because God has ordained a plan for everybody. God has ordained a plan for all of us. He's made all His blessings available to all of us. He called you before you were born. Each one of you has gifts. Each one of us has gifts. We are born with gifts and talents, and God has written in, you know, in Psalm 139, he said he's written the days before that we have set out before us in a book. He knows what we're going to do. He has expectations for us. He knows where we're going to go. So if we just separate the two parts and say, well, God's just blessed me, therefore I have all this inheritance, so I can do whatever I want. That's not true. It's not that we have to earn it. Again, we've talked about that. It's not that we're earning an inheritance. But if God has told us to do certain things, everything else is lined up because he's called you before you were ever born to do this and to be here. And not that we have to walk in it perfectly. God has infinite backup plans. But if we're going according to what we believe we should be and we're going down this line, that means that over here, it's going to be hard. I mean, it could be a lot harder than it needs to be if we say, no, I want to go over here. Well, God has made things happen over here in your life. He's called the ravens, as it were, in your life. He's called the supply to be there. He's called the money that you need to be somewhere. If you do what he's called you to do, then the supply, all the material needs that you have, he's going to supply them. Again, not that he's not going to supply them if you get off and do something that you shouldn't do, but it's not going to be the same. I mean, do you see that? It's not. You see, there's a line here that there's a difference between being under works to earn something from God and then just being obedient to him and doing what he wants us to do. I'm not talking about towing a line that we can't do anything wrong because God knows that we're human. That's why Jesus was sent, and we're going to do stuff wrong. We're going to miss things occasionally. We don't have to. And I'm not making a bad confession, but unless you've developed everything perfectly, once in a while, like, and it's been said, you might drive up on the curve a little bit, but you don't have to. You can know the Spirit of God if we would just be patient, if we would just be slow sometimes to listen to God and do the things that he's telling us to do. Pray in the Spirit if we need to. Take time to get settled. Don't go by emotion like I was talking about early. Get settled what you should do. What you should do, not what somebody else should do, what somebody else is doing. You should be like them, and because they're in the same profession, you got to do everything they do. No, that's not what God has called you to do. Get your plan from God. If you have to pray in the Spirit, if you don't know what to do, then get it from him. Ask him for wisdom. Wait on him. It's not a religious thing that we have to pull something from God. It's just making sure that we're hearing right. You know, that we're hearing. He's always giving direction. It's just that we want to make sure we're hearing what we should do. And as we get from him what we should do, and just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, just, hey, you get over here, there's a scratchiness. I don't care if we don't understand it. Just leave it alone until you do. It might be just your natural mind, but it might not be. Sometimes it can get blurry under certain circumstances, under certain areas in each of our lives. We have areas that, you know, is that me or is that the Spirit? Well, just wait, because I guarantee if it's God, it won't go away. It won't go away if it's God. If it's your flesh, it'll drop. I've seen that time. I've heard it said, and I've seen it in my own life time after time. If you think something's God, just wait. God's not going to change his mind. It'll be there. It'll be there. Somebody said it like this. You know, if you want to run, walk. If you want to walk, if you feel like you should, in other words, if you want to run, you just want to get going on something, just back it off a notch. Just take a little, if you feel like you should walk, crawl. If you feel like you just want to crawl, stop. And just make sure you're even going in the right direction. Because it doesn't matter if you're climbing the ladder, if you're climbing to the top of the ladder and you're climbing the wrong ladder. It doesn't matter if you're at the top, if you're in the wrong place. It doesn't matter if you've accomplished all these things, if they're the wrong accomplishments. You know, God has called each of us, just like Elijah, he told him to go to a certain place and his provision was there. He commanded ravens to feed him. I don't care what the economy's like. It does not matter what the economy's like. There was a drought. See, that's a bad economy. When you know, it's an agricultural society. Because there is no crops. There are no crops. If there are no crops, there's no food. There's no food for the livestock. That means there's no meat. That means there's no food for us. That's a bad situation. That can be way worse than what we're experiencing. I can guarantee, no matter what happens right now, you can still go down and get food at this point. There's not a drought. I mean, that's a bad economy, but God still took care of Elijah. But Elijah didn't just go out and said, well, see, I know God takes care of me all the time. You know, he's heard the word on God taking care of you and prosperity, and so he just does whatever he wants to do. He knew God took care of him, but he still found out what God wanted him to do. And see, when we find out what God wants us to do, there is everything that God has promised us is in full manifestation there, at that place. God has ordained for us to walk in certain steps, and if we'll just hook up with him, what we need is there. That doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. You know, we'll get to that. But so many times I think, you know, and it's so easy. It's so easy to get ahead of God. It's so easy to do our own thing because we don't see it. We don't understand everything. And how many times have you you've been in that situation? We want to know exactly the beginning to the end. Okay, God, you're telling me to do something, so why? Show me the end. Show me where I'm going. Then it'd be a lot easier for me just to follow your directions. You know, put that in light of a child. Sometimes, you know, if you've been with a child and you told them, do this. Well, why do I have to do that? You don't have to explain everything to the kid. Why? Just, I need you to do that. I don't have time, or I don't need to explain to you everything. You won't understand it, maybe. You don't need to know. Just do it, and you'll get the result down the line. Well, God, you know, like I've said before, we're adults, but God's been around a long time. You know, he's been around a lot longer than we are. So we're just children in his eyes. We hear from God. If we've taken the time then to find out where's the place. See, Elijah could have said, what? You want me to go to a brook? Why? Why go to that brook? What's there? He could have questioned it. He could have gone to a different brook and said, I don't like that brook. The scenery's not very good. Here's a brook. I'm going to camp here. The scenery's better. I'm going to be here. I like this brook better. That's not where God told him to go. He could say, well, why not? God's not obligated to answer all our questions. And sometimes I think it is, you know, if we knew everything down the line, I mean, if we knew what he was actually telling us to do from where we stand, it'd probably blow our minds and we wouldn't know. We wouldn't understand it. We have to just be obedient, step by step, go down the way, step by step, so that we get to where we're supposed to go. We may not know everything, we may not see everything, but that's where our relationship with God comes in, that we know him, we know his voice, we spend time with him, and it's not because I said something or because you read it in a book, it's because you know a person, and he's telling you to do something, and it lines up with his word, and you trust that, and you do it. And then it's a relationship. It's nobody else is telling you to do it. You know, it's not somebody else's vision for your life. It's what you believe God is leading you to do. And at that point, provision is there. You know, direction is there. Promotion is there. Development is there. Growth is there. Everything that we need is there. We need to be led. Why don't you turn over to Acts? Hold your finger in Kings. We'll come back. In 1 Kings, go to Acts 8. So Acts 8:26. Now, before you go, let's turn back and go back to Acts 8:4. Just turn back a little bit. Acts 8:4. So you can get what's going on. Acts 8:4 says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And then it goes on, talks about some other things, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and so on and so forth. So Philip is in the middle of a revival. Things are happening. There's great joy in the city. There's people that were lame get up and they're healed, or paralyzed, they're healed. So things are going. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. Then people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Things are going on. And so then in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. So he's in the middle of a revival. And he was preaching. People are getting saved and healed. He's the one preaching. People are stuff's going on. And the angel of the Lord says, "Go out to the desert." He could have said, "What? You can't want me to go someplace else. If anywhere, things are happening here. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. My gosh, did you see that guy? He couldn't walk for all these years, and now he's walking. What?" But he told him to go there, to the desert. So he arose and went. Verse 27. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, Ethiopians had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.'" See, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say, of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." So this man, Philip, there's this great revival going on. The Spirit of God tells him, "Go to the desert." So he gets up, he goes to the desert, and he's walking along this road. There's a chariot there. The Spirit of God says, "Go over, talk to the guy in the chariot." So he does. This guy has great authority where he comes from. He speaks to him. He says, "I don't understand these scriptures. Who's this? What's this talking about?" He says, "Talking about Jesus. You need to know Jesus." And the guy gets born again. One guy. He left the multitudes. Big revival, you know. Big tent. All this had going on. Big tent meaning all this stuff. And, you know, we don't even have tents anymore. But, you know, big auditorium. All these people, all this happening. He says, "Go out, you know, on the highway. See that car over there? Go talk to that guy. I want you to talk to him." Well, God leads us. If we're Christians, we're children of God. We have all these blessings provided for us, but we're also to follow God's leading wherever He leads us. It goes both ways. We're in a covenant. That means everything He has is ours. Pretty good deal. I'm not God. Thank God that I have everything, that all His resources are mine. And, you know, if I'm in a covenant with somebody, partner, that's like, you know, Shelly and I are in a covenant. We're in the same boat. Sink or swim, you know, our boat goes up and down together depending on, you know, everything that is mine is hers. Everything that is hers is mine. Well, same thing. We're in a covenant with God. He shed His blood. We entered into this covenant. Everything that He has is ours, but everything we have is His. So when He tells us to do something, we ought to say, "All right." Not asking questions, not trying to figure it out with our own limited capacity. You know, doing what He tells us to do. Somebody said it like this. You know, sometimes we say, "God, it's not logical what He wants us to do. Or it doesn't look logical." Somebody said this. Really helped me. He said, "God is infinitely logical. I mean, God's the chief engineer. God created everything. You think he's not logical? He is logical to a T. But the problem is we don't see everything he sees, so it doesn't look logical to us. If you saw from God's perspective, you would see that what he's telling you to do is exactly logical, perfectly logical. The problem is we can't see his perspective. We can't see everything. We can't see everything that God sees. So we say, huh? You know, Philip could have said, why do you want me to go to the desert? See, God already knew that there's this guy here that was reading the scripture that needed to be born again that would listen to Philip. So it was perfectly logical what God was doing. You know, Elijah, why do you want me to go to this brook? That's because I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. It was logical. Now, and we'll go, why don't you turn back to 1 Kings, and we'll pick up there. If you still have your finger there in 1 Kings. God is a logical God. God, we just need to get to the place where we actually trust him completely. And, you know, we have flesh to deal with. We have our mind. We have the world system, and that's why we got to keep that stuff out. That's why we have to keep our mind stayed on God, because the world will start pulling us over here. We start putting stuff in. It'll start pulling us over here to where we don't. Why trust God? Why? I can trust God, you know, in this economy and whatever. No, I have to worry. I have to, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I need money. And we don't think the way God's thinking. God, we're talking about God. He knows everything. If he says, do this, hey, there's a reason. So it said, let's read verse 6, the ravens, so we're back in 1 Kings 17, verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So his needs were met in a completely bad economy. If the economy is, you know, economy's not good, jobs are being lost all the time, but we serve an almighty God, and if we just do what he tells us to do, our needs are met, period. He'll make sure our needs are met. Verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I guess that happens, you know. We always think there's infinite water, but if it doesn't rain for a while, guess what? There's no water. So, verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, so, you know, he's gone to this place, and this happens too. We get to a place and we think, God told me to be here, so that's it. I'm here, okay? I put down my flesh. I got here. I'm doing what I should be doing. And then we got to be sensitive, dude, because that might not be the last command that we hear for the rest of our lives. You know, while we are somewhere, we ought to treat it like it is. I mean, if you hear something from God and you think, oh, well, I'm going someplace else, I'll just do this for a little while. You know, you can miss the future. You can miss what you're supposed to be doing because what you're supposed to be doing, you're learning right where you are. However, so when we hear something, we ought to say, yeah, I'm hooking up, man. I'm putting everything I have into this. But at the same time, don't get too comfortable and be listening, because God might be telling you the next thing at some point. You know, so it's like you're committed, but you're not, you know, you're not in the grave committed. You're there, but you're not, you still are a living person that you may go someplace else. So the brook dried up. There had been supernatural provision there, miraculous provision. Elijah had this raven feed him. But now the brook's gone. So God tells him to move on. So we got to be sensitive when God tells us to move on. Verse 8. This puts some responsibility on us. I mean, it's not just a, yes, Jesus has provided things for us, but we have to have a relationship with God and look to him as well. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which comes to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So see, earlier I've provided, what did he say in verse 4? He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there, at this place. Now, in here, he said, in verse 9, he said, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide you. Now he's at the next place. See, you were here, now I'm over here. Go there, that's where I've commanded the provision to be for you. So, excuse me. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her, called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. We don't have anything. There's a drought. There's famine. It's a bad economy. They're preparing to die. They don't have anything. They said, we're gonna eat our last meal and die. We don't have any hope. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. And thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. It's a miracle. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. See, God is not limited. That's a miracle. I mean, she has a little bit of, you know, flour, a little bit of oil, and she says, this is all we have, we're going to die. And God comes, you know, God leads Elijah to come over here to her, and she makes him a meal. He tells her what to do. She does it. And he says, you do this, this is going to last you until it rains. Supernatural provision. Supernatural. How we could have, you know, she could have said, what? How? What do you mean? How is that going to happen? That doesn't happen. It's going to run out. Nah, I'm going to die. But she did what Elijah told her to do, and it didn't run out. There was provision at this place that God had told Elijah to go. He was taken care of. The lady was taken care of. Everybody was taken care of. In our lives, we can go to that place. We can live in that place. We can live in that. Other people have called it, said it this way. It's a place called there. A place called there that we can live. You know, you notice earlier it said there the ravens have been commanded. I've commanded the ravens to take care of you. Here, there's a widow. If we stay in that place, and like I said, we hear God, we go to that place, but then we keep sensitive to God for the next place. And we just stay in that place where we're going from thing to thing that God wants us to, where he wants us to be, we'll be taken care of. Because God takes care of his own. Now, I'm not saying God is not going to take care of us at all if we get out of the will, but we don't have to. We don't ever, see, the thing is, we don't have to get out of the will of God. God did not make it difficult that we have to just, and like, we don't have to follow him to a T. If we follow him to a T, if we follow him the way we know to follow him, we're going to experience his best. But he's got, like I said, he has infinite backup plans for us. He doesn't look and say, well, you know what? You should have been at this place 30 years ago, so that means then you would have gone to this place and this place and this place and this place, and you're so far off, there's no help for you. Who knows? Did you notice there was no, he didn't make any mention of the widow's life, you know, or anything. He just said, he told Elijah to go there. No matter what the widow had done, she was part of the will of God. She obeyed where she was, did what the prophet said, and she was blessed. Do you realize it does not matter what your past has been? There's still a there today that God wants us in. It doesn't matter. It's not like if we miss it way back here, then we're messed up for the rest of our life. No, God's got another plan. He said, today, there's a place that you need to be. Today. And if we'll just find out, okay, you know what? I can't do anything about that, but where am I supposed to be now? Okay, it's right here. Guess what? We're right back where we should be. We're right back where we need to be. And we can pick up with God, and God will take us to the next place, and we can just get right back and go with him. We just need to spend time with him, follow his word, listen to him. When he's prompting us, listen to him. like we've talked about, it's not hard. We just listen to the Spirit inside of us. Just listen to that inner witness. Just be sensitive to it. Get peace. Follow peace. Follow where we feel peaceful about. Make decisions we feel peaceful about. And we won't miss it. We won't miss it. We don't have to get into this something and then, oh, thus saith the Lord, you're going to go. I mean, yes, these were supernatural things where we heard, you know, the Lord doesn't say how the Lord spoke to Elijah, but an angel came to Philip. That doesn't happen every day. You don't have to have that you have some word given to you or something given to you where that's what you're supposed to do next. No, if we can just go follow peace, peace is over here. Follow peace. That'll lead you to that next place. Then, you know what? I don't think I'm supposed to be here anymore. You can tell when that's happening. You don't want to be there anymore. You don't think it's the right place. Start following peace. Now, you know what? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I know God led me here. But it really seems like I'm supposed to do this. Follow that. Go with peace because that might be, this is the brook. It's dried up. Go over here to the widow's house. This is the next place. Oh, that, you know, this seems good. And then you just repeat the thing, you know, nah. If that's the rest of your life, this is where you're supposed to be, then that's where we stay. But if we get to the place where now, you know what? It's been good, but this doesn't seem like it. Man, but when I think of doing this, it seems good. Wait. Make sure that's God, then go over there. We can live the rest of our lives like that. Thank God.